The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
This morning we have a challenge. It's a good one. As we come together to get something really useful out of the time that we have left together. And to make it memorable, I don't want memory erasers on those back doors either this week. As you participate this morning, because I am going to ask you to participate, when you do participate, I want you to purpose in your heart to remember what the Holy Spirit will highlight to you as we highlight the Word of God. This last week, I have met with several people. And what I do a lot of times is just ask, I try to ask questions that reveal where people are, get them to share where they are, and then talk about what God's perspective is and what God's opinion and God's viewpoint is. Because your opinion and my opinion doesn't transform anybody. God's opinion, God's word, God's truth does. But when we agree with God's opinion, when we agree with God's truth, it starts to have its work in us when Scripture says, as we take it and we mix it with faith, and we begin to act on it. It begins to change the way we think, speak, act, all the things that go with that. So I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest condensed version this morning because we still have communion to do. But here is what I want you to lay hold of. Last week, as Roger came up here and asked this morning, last week, Mike talked about the text and talked about the text teaching us to love one another as he has loved us. And of course, because our minds know that one, that's an easy one. I know that one. We have a tendency to say in our hearts, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the Word of God needs to be rehearsed, and that truth needs to be refocused on each morning, each day, so that we don't lose track or focus of the mission that God has for us that day. Like there's a mission today as we come together corporately and worship God, laid out in the Scriptures, that we would aim at worshiping Him together through prayer, through the teaching of God's Word, through fellowship, through all the means, through our giving, through our sharing the gifts that God has put in us. That is to build up the body. It's to build up you. It's to have you built up by employing the gifts and by receiving the gifts that God has given to other people. So when you came this morning, I hope it was not out of obligation. When you came this morning, I hope you didn't say to yourself, you know, I really need to go to church because if I don't show up, somebody will be calling me and asking me, where were you? No, I hope that you said in your heart, I have been worshiping God all week, and today I get to worship corporately together with all the other believers. Because that's what we're doing. And God wants us, whenever we're involved in any activity, to do it by faith, to have an engaged heart and an engaged mind. So one of the things that struck me this week as I was talking to different people, and I'm going to ask you some of those same questions, and I want you to honestly answer. And I'm not looking to condemn anybody or get anybody to feel bad if you don't feel like you can, you know, bravely put up your hand. But I do want you to respond, and I do want you to demonstrate something because there's a purpose in that. What do you think is the purpose of daily devotions? Amen? Spiritual tune-up. Good, good. Yeah, it does not help us if at the end of the day obviously, refocusing God at the end of the day is a good thing to do. But if that's the first time we've focused on God, the day is gone. All we could focus on at that point is, God, please forgive me for not focusing on you today and help me do better tomorrow. So in some ways, we see this pattern in Jesus' life where he gets up every morning to meet with the Father. And his disciples would regularly see him go off and be by himself, meeting with his Father. And, you know, he says in John, I do nothing of my own initiative. What I see my Father doing, those are the things I do. What I hear my Father saying, those are the things I say. He has spent time with the Father. He's not just doing his own thing. He is doing the will of the Father. And for our lives to not just count, but to powerfully change us into the likeness of Christ, we're going to have a yielded, surrendered, constant devotion to him. In Acts chapter 2, we've talked about the four things that are talked about there in Acts 2:42, that at the inception of the church, the things they continually devoted themselves to was the word of God, to prayer, to communion of the saints, and to fellowshipping with each other. That a sense of awe came upon them. That God, at the inception of the church, caused his Spirit to fall in a mighty way, and many signs and wonders and healing, and that a sense of awe came over them all, and instead of being taken with the temporary and the materialistic world, they were taken by the Spirit to think and be spiritually minded, because they were given new hearts that were alive to God. And that was to be reflected in the kind of lives they lived. And it was, because you see the actions that they took. If anybody had any needs, they sold the property, gave it to those who were in need. They were moved to do something. And it was a part of their daily experience, and it says the Lord added to their number day by day. In this last week, I've spent a lot of time with some new believers, young believers, who have just come to Christ, and we're going through a discipleship process. We're going through some counseling, but we're also going through discipleship. And one of the first chapters in a book by Sinclair Ferguson, and it's all about Christian living. I think it's entitled something like that. It was written 30 years ago. Not a new book. But the gospel isn't new, but it's new to us. And it still does God's new life in us over and over and over. But the first chapter of this book is entitled, Knowing is for Living. It's not just to have knowledge. It's not just to get smarter. It doesn't matter if you know the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic, although that can be helpful. Knowing God and knowing his priority and knowing his will, and having our hearts shaped by that so that we are doing, we're acting out that truth as we yield and surrender to him, is the thing that we need to do. Now, how many of us, and I really want an honest raising of hands here, how many of us do daily devotions every morning? Raise your hand. Okay, great. We needed this. When I first became a Christian, I was carnal in my thinking. I was, everything about the world had saturated everything that I did all day, every day. And all of my experiences, all my feelings, everything had revolved around me and my how I filtered that through my life. And so when I became a Christian in my immaturity, well, I was with a bunch of zealous young believers who were meeting every day. At the end of every day, they were meeting every day. They were praying every day. They would go out and evangelize and share their faith every day. And at the end of that day, they would come back and we would give testimonies to who we talked to, picked up this hitchhiker, we met, you know, prayed to receive Christ with this waitress at Sherry's or wherever it was. This is Southern California. But the point is that there was stuff happening all the time. And there is a tendency to think that lots of activity is always the work of the Spirit. But we're not talking about just activity. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. We're talking about God using us and us being aware of that process as we are all about him and not about us. So this is devotions, as we call them, would be a spiritual discipline. And what I used to think about spiritual disciplines were, I said to myself, I translated in my little brain, that was obligation, that was duty, This is what was required. And in my immature brain, I thought, prerequisite minimum. That was, you know, that was who I was. How much do I not have to do was kind of always my question. Until, this always happens until we see God. And then that kind of goes out the window. When you see God and you begin to experience God and His glorious nature, you begin to want to do things out of a heart of love and devotion, not because I have to or it's expected of me, but because we love Him. I look now through a renewed mind. I look at the time that I spend with God in His Word, the time I spend in prayer, the time I, before the day, the rush of the day takes me, I look at that time as kind of like the giving of the first fruits in sacrifice. Tithing represents the tenth in the Old Covenant. But it's like you give the first and you give the best to God. And you consecrate the whole thing. And that, in essence, that I have that same principle working in my mind as I come before God to meet with Him. And as Vicky said, to listen to Him, not just to tell Him all the stuff that's going on in my life and all my requests and like the big genie in the sky who's going to give me three wishes, right? But that we would see Him as high and lifted up as Isaiah did in the temple, and that His glory filled the temple. And as in two other places in both the tabernacle and the temple, it was after it was built by Solomon, the priest could not stand to do the service of the temple because the glory of the Lord was so powerful that they fell as dead men. We need to get into the presence of God. And as we go into the presence of God, it's just like Jesus' model prayer. We're thinking of Him, our Father, who is in heaven, high above all of the earthly issues and obstacles and challenges, who rules and reigns and has created everything for Himself. And it's for Him and to Him and through Him that are all things. It's all about Him. And we're getting our heart and our mind fixated on that. At the beginning of the day, how many of you know what's going to happen this next week? I don't know either. But He does. You don't know what you're going to need. But we do know that we need Him. And we need to walk by the Spirit because we are of the Spirit. We are born again with the life of God. And so if we're going to do all to the glory of God, the eating and drinking, and I was going to try to unpack this for you, but we don't have time. But I pray that you do remember this. And I'm going to ask you just a few more questions to ponder. I already asked you what the purpose of the devotions was and how many of you did devotions daily. And what do you do in devotions that we're going to connect to God? And what is in your mind as you do devotions? So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, according to the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, a reasonable act of service to God. If I do not have the mind of Christ and I'm not walking in the Spirit, in human terms, what are my chances of glorifying God this afternoon? Pretty slim. What are the chances that all the things that I'll need when the storm hits, that I will have a ready heart that turns to Him? No, I'll be in a panic. I'll be overcome with anxiety and worry like the world is. I will stress out instead of relying upon the One who is our source. Our hearts need to be like well-watered gardens, that we're not thirsty for other stuff in life because He has satisfied us. And if I don't go there and begin to do this discipline at the beginning of the day, give Him the first fruits, so to speak, of my heart, and allow Him to speak to me, and then expect that He will speak to me, and that He will lead me, and that He wants me to do His will today, and that He's going to lead me by the hand, and He's going to take me into conversations. And some of those conversations, if I was not led by the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have them because I'd be so wrapped up in me that that person looks like they're having a difficult time. I don't even want to talk to them. I don't have an hour and a half to give to that person. Blessings. But the Holy Spirit might lead you into a conversation that you would just bypass. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you wisdom and everything that you need to make his name great through the gospel. Preach to your own heart, rehearse to your own heart beginning in the morning and then all throughout the day. So next Sunday, we're going to talk about this in greater degree. But my heart and my prayer for you this morning is that as you leave this afternoon, tomorrow morning when you get up, that you will go to God's word and you will open up your heart with prayer and you will say, I don't know what's coming today. I need him and I need his words and his truth and I need to be led by him and I need to be empowered by him because the gospel isn't through human talk. It is the power of God to salvation. Something our hearts need to ponder is how can I walk in his life and give his life away all day, every day? Since everything is to be done to his glory. And Paul said he's attempting to reach all these people in everything, he says, to please them. And he's not talking about so that he benefits in some way. When people are man-pleasers and people-pleasers, they're pleasing somebody else because there's an exchange. If I get you to be pleased with me, then you like me. Maybe you'll do something for me. But he said, that's not why I'm going and building bridges to people and doing all these things in order to please them. I'm doing it so I can share Christ to them, so I can make it about him, not so I can make it about me and my comfort and easier on me. I'm making it about him. And devotions say, you get the first fruit, God. You get my heart at the beginning of the day, and now I need to focus on you and be led by you throughout the day. God, help us to do your will on earth as it is in heaven by laying hold of Christ and not letting him go all day, by talking to him all day. You need it, I need it, and the people that you're going to rub up against, they need it. Because in him is life, and him and his life is in you. How can you represent him unless you're thinking about him? So things could be summed up very quickly as it's all about him and his name. It's all about him and his kingdom. And it's all about him and his will, about me being his representative in his kingdom. And that's how it's going to play out if we're kingdom-focused, gospel-focused, spirit-focused, and not us-focused. It is so easy to make everything about us. I remember in that zealous time when I was a new Christian that even evangelism, how many people we led to Christ, that was about us, chalking up our little notch on our belt. I even made evangelism about me in my immaturity. I remember when Kelly was born and Spencer and Haley, and what an incredible thrill was going on in my heart when they were born. But of course, it's their birthdays. But I can make my children about me. I can make my marriage about me. I can make my work about my identity or my business or this or that or whatever. I can make it about me. But there's no joy in that. There's no glory to God in that. And we're going to have to rethink everything. Instead of taking things and twisting them and making it about us, we're going to have to, on purpose, at the beginning of the day, say, it's all about you, God, and help me to maintain that. So next week, and in order for next week, for you to remember, that means that today, this afternoon, and tomorrow, you're going to have to think about how to actually apply this truth. There are many things coming up this week, and you don't know what they are. Some of them think you know what those are, but they aren't. And some of the things that you do believe that are going to happen, you're going to need to have God's supernatural grace empower you to do His will so that we can be a living display and a trophy of His grace. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. You can visit us online at www.summit-christian.org or contact us at 253-531-1672.